First reading is from Acts chapter 4, verse 32 to 35. Now, the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul. No one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as there were owners of the lands or house sold them and brought the proceeds of what they were sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as they had need. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from 1 John chapter 1 to 2. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testify to it and proclaim your eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us, which we have heard and seen, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you. O God is the light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleans us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sin, and not for ours only, but also for the sin of the whole world. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the 20th chapter. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the marks of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, there's so many uncertainties in this world today. Some of the uncertainties actually turn out well. When we had all that rain and all that flood, I had to drive up to Indy. And as I'm going, there's two police cars on the side of the road with all the lights going. 99% of the time, this is not good for somebody, okay? Pouring down rain. Not talking about uncertainties. Pouring. You know how it was. Just buckets coming down. There are two police officers changing a woman's tire and kneeling in what I'm guessing is 2 to 3 inches of water. I just wanted to, if I would have seen those guys later, I would have bought them lunch. I'm expecting one thing, and then there's something else. But some uncertainties are not so good. I mean, what, the stock market's bouncing better than a rubber ball lately. We also have always the uncertainty of gang violence. Or was it in Germany a day or two ago, a van crashed into a crowd of people. It has been said that the only thing that's certain in life is uncertainty. A few years ago, there was a study done of religious leaders, how they viewed certain subjects. And they asked them about the virgin birth, the miracles of Christ, and the resurrection. And it came back that many of them denied that any of those things were true, or they had no official position on them. Last week, we just celebrated Easter. But the resurrection is affirmed in Scripture. However, I love these quote so-called Bible scholars. I'll be nice. They'll write off the resurrection by saying, well, he just passed out on the cross. Disciples stole the body. Maybe the women went to the wrong tomb. Or he was only raised spiritually, not physically. And a little bit I'll look at those. But they try to deny the resurrection. They try to write it off as something different. Not only does the Bible affirm that he truly rose from the dead, it also affirms that he rules now. We read in 1 Corinthians 15, "For he must reign till he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." So not only did he rise from the dead, but he rules over his kingdom now. And now we are looking forward ultimately until when he comes again. Scripture says, "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that belong to Christ at his coming." So Christ is risen. Aren't those glorious words to hear? Jesus taught that to his disciples numerous times throughout his time with them. Then after the fact, as you read through the book of Acts or any of Paul's letters, again and again the disciples keep preaching Christ crucified and risen. You know, many accept the fact that Christ died on the cross, but they get kind of mute on the resurrection, or they get kind of vague about the resurrection. See, I couldn't be a newscaster because I'm listening to these people, and Easter is when Christians believe that Jesus rose from the dead. No, it's fact. I think it's rather ironic that they'll say, well, Muhammad did this, like it's automatically assumed to be fact. But we can't say that Christ rose from the dead. They got to hedge it with Christians, say that, because, you know, we can't offend. Well, I will gladly and proudly proclaim that he is risen. I have no problems with saying it is an absolute fact. Unfortunately, in the Christian church, I'm talking about overall, all Christian denominations, there's a whole bunch of, quote, ways of explaining the resurrection. See, this is what happens when men do not have real jobs and they sit around and come up with garbage. There's a reason they call them eggheads in universities, okay? They got nothing better to do than the right trash. But I love it when they publish it because then I can use it when I need to put a drop cloth for painting. Anyway, one of the theories is it was just a spiritual resurrection, not a physical one. In other words, Jesus was like Casper the Ghost. And that's how he appears in a room and leaves the room and gets all over the place. It was just a spiritual resurrection. Well, you know what? The disciples always preached a physical resurrection. In Acts, when Luke is writing, he's writing to a person known as Theophilus. Luke has written the book of Luke, what we call the Gospel of Luke, to Theophilus. Then he writes the book of Acts, sort of to continue the story. But Luke writes in Acts chapter 1, "The former have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs." In other words, he proved himself again and again. He had truly risen physically. And the disciples preached that constantly. One of the other theories is the disciples stole the body. Now, of all the ones that are out there to deny the resurrection, to me, that borders as stupid as they went to the wrong tomb. Let's get this straight. 11 men went and took on a group of Roman soldiers guarding the tomb. Overpowered them, but nobody got hurt, and then stole the body. What happened to Roman soldiers who failed in their duties, folks? Yep. "Lucas, you're going to sleep with the fishes for failing me this time." All right. Yeah, so the disciples overpowered them. Nobody got hurt. And then they stole the body. What gets me is there are people that actually believe this. Another priceless one is that he passed out on the cross. That Jesus, who was beaten, whipped, scourged, drags a cross to Calvary, which he can't do because physically he's way too weak. He's nailed to the cross for 6 hours. At the end of which, the Roman soldier comes up, spears him in the side, and out comes blood and water. Pretty conclusive proof, he's dead. But yet some will claim he was faking it. I don't know about y'all. What happens when you prick yourself with a pin? Do you just not flinch or say a word? I cry like a 2-year-old. Like somebody has ripped my whole arm off and stuffed it down my throat when I get a pinprick. Yes, so I'm going to be on the cross and somebody's going to stick me with a spear and I'm not going to flinch because I want them to think I'm dead. Huh? All right, the last one, the wrong tomb. Again, eggheads. Here's this one. The officials, the Pharisees, sealed the wrong tomb. The Roman soldiers guarded the right tomb, but the disciples went to the wrong one. Ha! I swear I gotta scratch my little wooden head because I just don't get it. They'll try to deny the resurrection because if you deny the resurrection, you deny the central doctrine of the Christian faith. He did rise from the dead and he's reigning now. The idea or the concept of Christ reigning was announced to Mary way back when it was announced to her that she was going to be the mother of the Messiah. The angel said, "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will never be an end." He's going to reign in his kingdom, and it begins after the resurrection. Acts 2 tells us, "Men and brothers, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David. God would raise up Christ to sit on his throne." So he takes the throne of his kingdom at the resurrection. Even throughout the Old Testament, Daniel prophesied that Christ would come and reign on his throne forever. And we also know then in 40 days he would ascend back into heaven. We read, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in a manner as you have seen him go into heaven." So he ascends up into heaven, and we're told he's going to come back the exact same way. 1 Thessalonians tells us, "But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall ever be with the Lord. He ascended to heaven. He's coming back to take us with him. I guess I'm going to be so overwhelmed by the fact that I'm ascending up into heaven, I'm going to get over my fear of heights. See, I'm a complete mess, folks. I hate heights and I hate small places. I hate boats and planes. But when the resurrection comes, I think I'm going to be okay going 20,000 feet straight up. I'm sure not going to say, no, Lord, can I have a safe place down here so I can just rest? No. It's called, take me, Lord, let's go. But God says his kingdom also, by the way, is not of this world. And that is important to realize as we read through the news and we see all this just insanity. It just seems to be decades of insanity going on. His kingdom's not of this world. We get an idea of what it's going to be. We try to establish his kingdom here to live in the way he calls us to live. But we are never going to have perfection here. Sin, death, and the devil still fight us here. But they've lost the war. They can win battles, but they lost the war. They still have enough strength to take out Christians along the way, but they can't win the war. Again, self-professed nerd, I was looking through Instagram, which I wish my kids had never introduced me to that, because there's all these wonderful people that post all these wonderful pictures of World War II. And some of the ones that always get me is, in case you forget, Germany surrendered May 7th and 8th of 45. And they're showing a picture of dead soldiers in late April. And I'm thinking, man, there was a couple of them I looked at, 2 weeks, and the war would have been over and you would have gone home. The war, Germany couldn't win at that point, but they still could inflict damage. See, Satan can't win, but he still has the ability to inflict damage. That's why we have evil in this world. He's still out there trying to inflict damage. But we know Christ is coming back. Scripture makes that very clear. On the last day, he's going to make everything right. And we have the resurrection of both the good and the evil. One gets the reward, one gets punishment. Which I don't know for a fact. The Pope said this. I'm sorry. Do you know how much I trust newspaper reporters? I always say with a newspaper reporter, what they say in $1.50 will get you coffee. I think coffee costs $1.50, doesn't it? Oh, whatever. You know what I mean. I know what I like at Starbucks costs $5.04. So what a newspaper reporter says, $5.04, you can get a cup of coffee. Supposedly what the Pope said is that on the resurrection, the good go to heaven, and the evil, you know, that's the unbelievers disappear. Their soul ceases to exist. Well, I pray that he was misquoted on that, because that is not what happens. And we do appear before the judgment seat. How many of you are afraid of appearing before the judgment seat? I would hope there'd be no hands. I found a good analogy of the appearing before the judgment seat from the Olympics. Okay? Yeah, I know when I'm watching the Olympics, I got strange thoughts going through. It happens. But I think this works. You know when a skier wins a competition? They've got the gold. You know where they get the gold is going before the judge. Have you ever seen somebody get a gold and go, they're going up in front of the judges, but they know what they're going to get. See, for Christians, we got the gold. All right, we go before the judgment seat. We got the gold. So we're okay with this. Because we're going to get up there and Christ is going to say, that one belongs to me. Now, when's all this going to happen? Nobody knows. Could be this afternoon. I personally think it'll be when the Lions are in the Super Bowl. Fourth quarter, down by 6, on the 4-yard line with 5 seconds to go in the game. I might be the only one going, Lord, 2 minutes. And he's going to go, no, they'll never win. See, we don't know when all this is going to happen. But we live daily with the fact the resurrection is real, he's coming back, and we spend eternity with him. And that gives us complete trust in all of his promises. You know, we have the beauty of Christians in today's world that we've got all of Scripture in front of us. And we can look through it all, and consistently God keeps all of his promises. He never breaks a one. Why do you trust anybody in this world? Because they keep their promises. God consistently keeps them. If we want to, we can look at it this way. Heaven is our home, and earth is just the waiting room. And I have said that Satan's forces continue to fight, but it's late April 45. He's only got a couple more weeks before it's over. So we live our lives with the certainty of the resurrection, and because the resurrection is true, he died and rose again for us, our sins are forgiven, and life eternal is ours. Should give us a sense of comfort, just that God's got it. Okay, now I can take on life. So may the peace of God, which is above all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds always focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen. And we continue our worship with our gifts to continue the work of his church.